the power. House Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 3:25 on Saturday, April 14th. With us, we have Representative Chenault, Speaker Chenault, Representative Sadler, Representative Johnson, myself, Chair Olson, and Representative Miller. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business today. The first item is a bit of housekeeping. We will not be hearing Senate Bill 217 today. That's fallen off the calendar, which with three left. Second item is Senate Bill 119, athletic trainers. Welcome back, Christine. And we heard this bill first on the 11th and again on the 12th. We closed public testimony. On the 11th, we adopted a CS version X. At that time, I objected, so I will remove my objection. With us to give a brief recap of the bill is Christine Margasingan, staff to sponsor Senator Meyer. Welcome back. Want to give us a real brief summary? Let's see what we can do about moving it.
Most certainly, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Christine Marisigan. I'm a staffer to Senator Kevin Meyer, the sponsor of Senate Bill 119. The bill has three components. One is to provide licensure for athletic trainers. The other is relating to student participation in interscholastic activities. And there's one small section in there that addresses some material left over from the traumatic brain injury bill that passed last year.
We have two amendments, and I noticed that we've got Representative Holmes' staff to explain the First Amendment. Let's see.
Is that X Newton?
That's X. Three.
See, that's a problem with this thing. I don't have.
Do I hear a motion to adopt X3?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move amendment number one, which is designated X3.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mike, welcome back. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Okay. Mike Kunde, staff for Representative Lindsay Holmes. And Mr. Chairman, amendment number one, your Amendment X3, in lines that the only change to the original amendment is that the material in in version X, where there were several choices on where a student could attend school. The two second choices, because currently in the bill it says that if a student is attending an alternative school, they will attend. If they're taking part in interscholastic activities, that they will be doing those at the school according to where it is that their residence is, and the two other choices that were in the first version, the First Amendment that you had, have been replaced with lines 11 through 13 of version X3. Which says in this version that first choice that I just mentioned, or at which the student requests to participate, if A, the student shows good cause, and B, the governing body of the school approves. And I understand that in this case, the governing body of the school would be the body that governs the school, which would be, in most cases, the school district. And I understand that there was some question about whether or not that should be that language or should instead say the Alaska, and I'm sorry, the um, the Alaska Student Activities Association instead of that. So, but basically, this is the version that's before you, and I guess there'll be some discussion whether or not you want to have this version or whether or not you'd have that language replaced with Alaska Student Activities Association.
Any questions for Mike?
No, but I think I do for Gary.
Gary Matthews, are you online?
Yes, I am. This is Gary Matthews. I am here. Yes, sir.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record. And are you on the list to speak to Amendment Number 1 or the bill?
I called in to speak to the amendment. This is, for the record, my name is Gary Matthews. I'm Executive Director of Alaska School Activities Association. I'm calling from Anchorage.
Thank you for joining us today. Please share your thoughts on Amendment Number 1.
Yes. Representative Olson, Chair, is that who is speaking? I'm sorry, is it the Chairman speak?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, who's there? Yes, I support the proposed X3 amendment because school districts and schools have a lot better, a lot more capable of determining where the kids live and where they should be able to participate rather than a statewide agency that doesn't have the knowledge of the geography of all these school districts around the state. So I support the X3 amendment.
Representative Johnson.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's what I wanted to know. When you say governing body, but you have certain, you govern certain things like eligibility and things like that. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson. That's right, sir. We don't determine where the students become eligible to participate. The school districts, either through zones that they have school attendance areas, or some districts have open attendance. The districts are the ones who decide where the kids actually attend, and once that's been decided, then our rules come into place.
Hello? Thank you. Gary, can you help me understand what happened with the young man north of Anchorage that was declared ineligible? Was that an ASA ruling, or was that a school board or a school district ruling? What happened there? Can you kind of bring me up to speed to that on that?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Johnson, there were two rules in place. The ASOA has a rule that prohibited that student from participating at that school because he was already enrolled in another school district's program, the IDEA program, which was a member of Alaska School Activities Association, and he had some eligibility through that program. I also understand that the Anchorage School District had an additional rule that prohibited the student from participating because he was not enrolled in any of their district's programs, either their brick-and-mortar schools or their alternative programs.
Follow up. Have we done something in this bill that would permit that? If this were retroactive, would he be allowed to play?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, yes, he would. The part of the bill that refers to statewide correspondence programs would come into effect in that case then.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure we're in fact fixing the problem.
Representative Sadler.
I'm not sure if this is, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if this is for the witness or for Mr. Matthews, but the very similar language in section paragraph 2 sub A, the student shows good cause. My question, does that presume that the school would be the you know, to whom should the student show good cause? Who is the arbiter of what that good cause is? Is that ASA or is that the school district, in your view?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, my read of this would be the school district because students right now don't, Alaska School Activities Association does not get involved in which students the school attend. Districts which have, for example, the Anchorage School District, which has boundaries, will accept students out of boundary if they are granted a zone exception. And there's a lottery that the students can apply through to grant attendance, to apply for attendance in another school other than the district in which they live, the attendance area in which they live. So the good cause would be, as far as I'm concerned, would be presented to the school district. I would have no way to make any determination of the legitimacy of a request of cause of which school the student should be able to attend. I think once that's been determined, then the eligibility and whether the student meets all eligibility requirements then would come under our purview.
I agree. For the record, I would have to say I agree also that it should be the school district's call there. And yeah, that's kind of a double test. They have to actually have good cause and good reasons, such as our colleague explained, and the governing body, the school district, would have to agree. So that's a double test. I too, for the record, want to avoid team shopping and try to avoid the situation where a student takes advantage of the rules to team shop.
Any further questions for either Mr. Matthews or Mike? Seeing none, thanks. Christine, do you care to weigh in? Anybody in the room care to weigh in? I'll remove my objection to amendment number one. Is there any further objection? Amendment number one moves to the bill. Can I have a motion to adopt X4, amendment number two?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move amendment number two, and is that designated X3?
X4.
Thank you, Mr.
And I'll object X4. For purposes of discussion. Conrad, do you want to walk us through it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. Before you, Amendment X4 to Senate Bill 119 would establish a little more clearly the scope of practice and the definitions of what an athletic trainer is, can do in the state of Alaska, and who will be developing the regulations that they will be operating under. On the first page of the amendment, you'll notice page 1, line 2, we're inserting relating to the adoption of regulations by the State Medical Board in the title of the bill. This will put the regulations and some of the definitions, the duties of, it will add to the duties of the board to define the regulations for the athletic trainers. We're also adding in the scope of practice that further defines what athletic training in the state of Alaska is, what they are able to do in their practice. Further on page one, we get into the definitions of what an athlete is, an athletic trainer. Athletic trainer means a person who practices athletic training. It seems rather simple, but when we get into the drafting of legislation, as you've all seen, sometimes they bring it right down. On the second page of the amendment, we are, and on line 5 of the second page, we are adding to the duties of and the power of the board, the state medical board, to adopt regulations to carry into effect the provisions of this chapter, which is new 08-07. We also add to the duties of the board in the next section 4 of the bill, or section 4 of the amendment, the language describing the appropriate treatment modalities of athletic training. We also delete a couple of sections and renumber them in the bill. This amendment came about after some discussions, and it just, I guess the consensus was there were some issues with the definition of what an athletic trainer was and what their duties, what their scope of practice was or was going to be should the bill pass. And that's about it, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conrad, kind of a grammatical question, but kind of an important one. On Amendment 2 on page 1, line 20 through 22, athletic training. My question is, do all these activities described after athletic training have to be under a plan of care designed and overseen by a physician, or is that just the last prevention and treatment of injuries?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, it is intended that athletic trainers and the practice of athletic training be done under the supervision of a physician, under the direction of a physician, so that we're assured that patients, the injured athletes, are cared for at a medical standard that is in compliance with what's been established in regulations and what is acceptable to the state medical board.
Okay, and would that also include, as we spoke about a minute or two ago about this, the standard kinds of treatment for example, a sprained ankle? If we start a sports season, there's a basketball team or a football team, no practices yet, no games, the first day of practice you show up, does there have to be some kind of consultation or authorization from a physician to establish a plan of care should there be any injuries anywhere in that season? Or is it assumed that there's just a standard protocol of physician's care?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, I believe that would probably be more defined in regulation as the department and the board narrows that. I think the intention is to have all of the activities that an athletic trainer is doing, again, supervised under the direction of the physician. It is felt that with that direction, with that supervision, that the doctors are going to make sure that the athletic trainers that they have under their wing, so to speak, know what they're doing, have the proper skills to ice that ankle, to wrap that knee, whatever the injury may be.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I believe in most programs, especially scholastic programs, before you can engage in the athletics, there's a physical required. So you've actually got the baseline from a doctor who says it's okay for you to start. So you've kind of got that assessment with that physical that allows you to play that you have to have before you play. So from that point forward, it's what it is.
So then you're under the care of a doctor at that point?
I think technically that's probably accurate.
Okay. Any further questions for Conrad? Christine, do you care to weigh in on? Nope. With that, I'll remove my objection to number two, also X4. And is there any further objection? With that, seeing no objection, the amendment number two moves. That brings the whole bill back to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I think that we've got a good start. I still think with this we have still the laxest definition of athletic trainer in the nation, but it's a good start. It's better than nothing, I guess. If you go to other states, they're quite extensive. I guess we'll throw this against the wall and see what sticks. And if there are problems develop, we can look at them at that point. There's a capability of dealing with very serious injuries, and I want to make sure that the best of the best take care of our children. So I'm not sure we've gone far enough, but I think it's a good start. So, Mr. Chairman, having said that, unless somebody else has something to say, I would move the CS for SB 119 out of committee with individual, as amended, with individual recommendations and physical notes, if any.
Seeing no opposition, the bill will move out of committee, and we'll take a brief at ease. Income tax credit for employing a veteran. Fish? Sorry, Fish. Didn't mean to wake you up.
I think you're apologizing to the wrong person.
Welcome back, Kendra. Now, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Kendra Kloster, staff to Senator Wilikowski. And thank you for hearing the bill again. Would you like me to do a brief overview?
Yeah, it was yesterday. We did hear the bill yesterday, and we opened and closed public testimony. I don't think we have any amendments, do we? No amendments. With that, what are the wishes of the committee? Oh, we've got Don Bullock online.
Did we amend this?
No.
Mr. Chairman, having said that, or not said that, I would move the CS for Senate Bill 136 out of committee with individual recommendation and attached fiscal notes, if any, which I don't believe there are. Thank you.
Seeing no opposition, Senate Bill 136 is on its way out the door.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there's a
couple of indeterminate fiscal notes?
Oh, with the indeterminate fiscal notes and attached recommendations, or individual recommendations, which will be attached.
Individually.
Individually.
Seeing no opposition, we'll now move it out of committee. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Keeping us honest.
Thank you.
Where are those?
Thanks, Kendra. Yes, Connor.
There it is.
Got it. Next up is Senate Bill 25. Mr. Pulaski back there. We heard this bill yesterday. We took public testimony. We set the bill aside. Today we have three proposed amendments. It's my intention to dispense with the amendments and then turn to the wishes of the committee. So you want to walk us through the amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe I have the
amendments. Oh, I'm sorry. We combined all three of them into a CS. Yeah. And the CS, I would move for adoption of...
Is this the CS?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the CS for Senate Bill... Never mind. Hang on a second. Move the CS for Senate Bill 25 out of committee, or excuse me, this, let me start over. I would move the CS for Senate Bill 25 as a work, adopted as a working document designated 27LS090-L.
And with that, I believe we have Tom Wright from the Speaker's office, but I will object first for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Tom Wright, staff to the Speaker. In the CS, what we have done is we've taken out the portions that relate to the property tax exemption of those properties owned by ADA. There's five properties, and there's the FedEx building in Anchorage. There's the Ketchikan Shipyard, part of Red Dog. I'm trying to remember the other two that are owned by ADA. And, you know, quite frankly, after discussing this with the Speaker, we thought this was better left up to the municipalities, and rather, if they decided they wanted to do this, that they should have the option to do so. Also, what we've done is taken the intent language that said the legislature shall appropriate or may appropriate $125 million in, this fiscal year and the next fiscal year. I mean, that's up to the legislature for appropriation. And intent language really isn't necessary, to include in the bill, because the legislature will make that decision this year. I believe there's a $125 million fiscal note associated with this for this year. And next year, the legislature can, follow up on that if they so desire. Then the third amendment deals with, in the descriptions, for natural gas. And what it does is exempt a natural gas pipeline for transporting natural gas from the North Slope to market. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to also include from the North Slope or Cook Inlet to market or any other field, but I would feel more comfortable if we said North Slope or Cook Inlet to market. That way, ADA will not be financing, bonding, any major pipeline. It doesn't mean that they can't do distribution lines off the main pipeline or any other, or distribution lines. We just want to make sure that they're not going to be involved in the financing of a main transmission line from either Cook Inlet or the North Slope.
Any questions for Mr. Wright before we move on to the conceptual amendment you just outlined?
If you could point where that is in the bill, Mr. Chairman, that would help me a lot.
Mr. Chairman, that would be on page 10, line 28, or line 30, excuse me.
And, Mr. Chairman, for clarification, from the sponsor's representative, you would like to add North Slope or Cook Inlet?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would move conceptual amendment number one, and that would be on page 10, line 30, at the end of North Slope, insert or Cook Inlet.
Certainly.
And I will leave that as a conceptual amendment so the drafters can have some flexibility if they need it.
Is there any opposition to conceptual amendment number one?
Only if you'd want betting on the Comfort and Ana Basin or anything like that. Do you want to limit it to just those two? Nothing else is really in production, so nothing broader. I just want to raise it.
Answered your own question?
I did.
Seeing no opposition, conceptual amendment number one is accepted. That brings back any further questions for Mr. Wright? Stick around for a minute or two, if you could, please. That will bring the whole bill back to the committee. What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask just a question for the record. Could I ask the sponsors, representative, or the thoughts of the senator on these amendments?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Michael Plowski, aide to Senator McGuire. In regards to the language that was exempting when a municipality or borough exempted for property taxes, the senator was very supportive of that language, understands the interest of the committee, but was supporting that language. I would point out that one of the fiscal notes that came with the bill was due directly to that language, so the removal of that language returns the bill to a zero fiscal note in the basic operations of the bill. So as the committee considers its question, it does reduce the fiscal note for the bill substantively. The senator was very fine with the changes later in the bill around the exclusion of large-scale natural gas pipeline projects or Cook Inlet, North Slope or Cook Inlet, I think either one the sponsor was supportive of, the inclusion of that language, because the amount of money that we're talking about in this fund, it would be not even enough to get close to that project and would completely crowd out all the other projects that this bill is intended to address, which are really some of the medium to smaller scale projects around the state, Mr. Chairman.
The answer to my question, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure it would have mattered, but it's good to put on the record.
It is.
Thank you. We're going to stick around, Fish.
You want to move it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Any other discussion, I would move the CS for Senate Bill 25 as amended.
Oh, I need to remove my.
Oh, objection. I'm sorry.
It's removed.
It's removed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further opposition? Seeing none.
Having said all that, I would move the CS for the Senate Bill 25 as amended out of committee with attached fiscal notes, which I understand will be zero in the next committee, with individual recommendations.
Seeing no opposition, the bill does move out of committee. And for the people in the room and the people that might be watching us, we're going back on the floor in about 3 minutes. And it looks like we moved things a little fast today. If we wouldn't have moved them right now, they wouldn't have moved. And with that, we'll adjourn at 4:05.